Morning. Our scripture reading today is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. May we hear the word today and obey it. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Amen. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you have given us power to have minds that are fixed for you, Lord. That our hope is completely in you, and not upon other things, but upon the grace that you've poured out to us through Christ. And Lord, we thank you for delivering us out of disobedience and bringing us to the place of obedience, to not be conformed to this world and its lusts and the lusts of the flesh, but to be transformed in the renewing of our mind to follow after Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we were redeemed not with perishable or corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that spotless blood. And Father, we want to just be people that have hearts after you today and to love you. Thank you for the word that you speak to us. And may we have ears to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, family. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Praise the Lord. It's 11:02. You ought to be awake by now. I promise you, I won't put you to sleep. So it's my privilege to preach to you this morning. I was hoping to deal with several character traits of the godly man. And as I began to prepare my sermon, I found out that I wasn't going to be able to accurately cover the first one in one sermon. So we're going to just talk about the first one. So my sermon could actually be titled, A Godly Man is a Man of Love. And we're going to talk about the biblical attribute of love, but we're going to talk about that in regard to manhood. Okay? And so if you will, the sermon this morning is primarily to the men in the church, although I'm sure you ladies will have plenty to glean. And but nevertheless, we in the church need men. Amen? And we need men who are men of God. Our culture around us is dying because the men are shirking their responsibility. Amen? Let it not be said of those of us in the church, but may we Christian men be in fact what we are, men. Amen? So if you will, my exhortation then is to the men of the church, and it is this, that a godly man is a man of love. And I want to recommend a couple of books to you because I think there's a lot to learn on the subject of manhood. And I'm always recommending books because I think you need to turn off the tube and you need to get your nose in the Bible. And then also listening to good Bible teachers who teach sound doctrine in accordance with the Bible. Amen? So that's why I recommend books, because these are works by good, godly teachers who are teaching sound doctrine in accordance with the Bible. Okay? The first one is this book here, The Godly Man's Picture. I may have recommended this to some of you before. If you don't have this book, you need this book. This is a good book. You will be challenged when you read this book to be a man of God. You won't get through the first few pages. This thing will just have you torn apart. It'll just have you weeping before God because you realize God's high calling. And not only that, but your soul will be hungering and thirsting to be a man like he describes here. The Godly Man's Picture Drawn with a Scripture Pencil. Okay? Thomas Watson, this book was written in the 17th century. It's great stuff, man. Okay, and here's another one. The Exemplary Husband. This is a book written by a guy by the name of Stuart Scott. He's a biblical counseling guy, evangelical Christian. Great book. I think this is the best book on Christian husbanding that is available. The Exemplary Husband. Exemplary Husband. Stuart Scott. Okay? Just want to recommend those to you. That way you won't have any spare time that your brain is not being edified. Okay? With that, let's pray. God, our Father, Lord, we praise you today. We glorify you and we honor you, God. We are just filled with joy, Lord, at the thought of you. Lord, great creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty, we praise you. We honor you, Lord. We lift you up and we sing for joy in your presence and we gather with your holy people in love. And Father, we just thank you for the privilege that we have to gather here with all of your holy saints. We thank you for the freedom that we have to freely proclaim your word, God, without reproach, without persecution in this place. We thank you for that freedom, and we recognize that you have given it to us, God. And we ask that this freedom would endure for many generations, God, that we might preach the gospel to our children and to our children's children without fear of reproach or harm. But Lord, not as we will, but as you will. So Lord, whatever you bring to pass, we will take the cup and drink, and we will rejoice in you, Lord, whatever be your will. Oh Lord, we praise you, we honor you, we bless you. I pray that today, Lord, as we speak about this topic of Christian love and what it means to be a loving Christian man, I pray, God, that you would give us men ears to hear. God, help us to evaluate our lives. I pray that you would help us to get our priorities in their right order, and that, God, we would, in fact, see you in the right place, the rightful place that you possess, even our King and our God. We thank you for all that you are doing in our lives and our families. We thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, then. So if I have a text for this morning's sermon, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 13. I want to talk a little bit about those two verses of Scripture, verse 13 and 14. And there we see the apostle giving an exhortation to manhood. For those of us men who worship Christ, who see him as our all in all, who know him to be the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it is of utmost importance for us to become like him. When we look at God, we see him in all of the glory of his infinite perfections. There we see the true quality of virtue. When we look at God, we see what goodness is. When we look at God, we see what is truly valuable. When we see God in his perfections, we see what things ought to truly be desired. We see what things define what is good and what is evil, what is righteous and what is wicked. When we look at God, we see purity and holiness and righteousness and truth and love and compassion and justice. When we look at God, we see everything that is of virtue. Okay? And everything that we would consider to be good is defined in the being of God. And so we, in God, we learn how to make assessments about the virtue and the value of things in the world. Because we look at God and we see what things ought to be valued. We see what things are good. We see what things are evil. God himself, because he is righteous and holy and true, thereby defines what is evil and wicked. God is to be desired. Sin is to be abhorred. Amen? And so it's important that we make a right assessment of things and a right assessment about the world around us in relation to who God is. Okay? We make it our aim then to be like him because he is the epitome of what is good and righteous, what is noble and true, what is to be honored and what is to be valued. When we look at the man, Christ Jesus, we see all of the glorious attributes of God brought to us in a way that we can understand. God's love and compassion, his wisdom and his justice, his power and his knowledge, his patience and his kindness can all be seen clearly in the person of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is an example for us, men. He is a model for us. In Jesus, then, we have a model of what a godly man is. And we have a clear vision of what we seek to become. As Christian men, our pursuit is to be like Jesus, the man. As Christian men, we have no other purpose in our life. This is the purpose that defines all other purposes in our life. It is to be like Jesus, the man. If we're shooting for any other thing or anything less than that, we have missed the target. Amen? Jesus is our model. And so we seek to be godly. We want to be a godly man. We want to be like God. As a matter of fact, if you are a Christian man, you are becoming like God because it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and to conform you into the image of Christ. That's why he has come to live inside you. That is the ministry that he performs in the application of redemption. As he applies Christ's redeeming work to you, what he's doing is fashioning you after the likeness of Christ. This is what it means. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. That's why we were called. We were called and chosen so that the Holy Spirit of God would come to live in us and fashion us to be like Jesus. Family, all other pursuits for a Christian man are missing the mark. We seek to be like Jesus. And if we're not seeking to be like Jesus, we're fighting against God, the Holy Spirit, who is in our heart there for that very purpose. Amen? Okay, so this is our pursuit as Christian men. And of course, this is affirmed again and again in Scripture that we are to be like Christ or be like God. Let me give you a very practical section of Scripture. Ephesians 4, verses 22 and following. And there it says, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You see, here the scripture tells us that it's our pursuit to put on the new man, to put the old man off that's being corrupted, that old man of sin, that old man that wants to sin, that old man that's made of sin and pursues sin. The scripture says, we were taught of the truth according to Jesus to put him off and instead to do what? To put on the new man. What new man? The new man that is in the likeness of God, created in righteousness and holiness. If you are a Christian man, this is your pursuit. This is what you do. This, even a Christian woman does this. She puts off the old woman and puts on the new woman, right? The new woman that's created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, right? This is our pursuit as Christians. We seek to become like Jesus. We seek to be godly. We seek to be like God. Okay? And so when we talk about the godly man, we talk about the man that's like God. We're talking about the man that is our goal to be like. The godly man. The man that is like God in his character. That's what we're after. That's what we're pursuing. So, as we go through this today, and you feel like you're probably falling short, maybe in many of these areas, that's okay. Hang in there with me, okay? We're getting a picture of the model, the godly man, the man we seek to become, the man we are pursuing to be, okay? The man the Bible defines as a man that is like God, okay? So we make it our aim, we make it our pursuit to put on this new man, which is made in the likeness of God, and we strive to be like him. We seek to think like him, to act like him, and to speak in a way that is consistent with and according to the character of God as revealed in God's holy word, the Bible. So then, with that, let's focus our attention on this one point, okay? So, if you will, this could be a series of sermons. Character traits of a godly man. I was going to try to tackle love and humility, but I couldn't get just love on the pages. It's just too broad. It's too much. So maybe when I get to speak to you again sometime in the future, we'll talk about some other traits like humility. But this morning, a godly man is a man of love. A godly man is a man of love. Consider the words of the apostle when speaking to the men of the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. If you don't have your Bible open there, open to there. I want you to see this. And as is characteristic of Paul, sometimes right toward the end of his letter, he'll give us all these little exhortations that don't necessarily fit in the flow of the context, but it's just Paul kind of trying to sum up his letter and give us a few last important little jabs before he gets that thing finished. And this is what's happening here in the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He's giving us these little brief exhortations. Well, within that, he has this little exhortation to manhood. I think it's just a glorious little passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. He says this. He says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And so here the apostle tells the men in the Corinthian church, act like men. I thought that's a very interesting thing to hear Paul say. Think about what he's trying to communicate. Here Paul exhorts the men saying, be on the alert, he says. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Here the apostle gives us several exhortations. First, he says here, be on the alert. What does he mean, be on the alert? Obviously, he's talking about in a spiritual context, right? I mean, not like he's trying to tell them, you know, you got soldiers around your house and they're about to overtake you and you're going to die. That's not what he's saying, right? He just got done with the book of 1 Corinthians, trying to tell them how to live out their faith and their life and their Christianity and how things ought to be in the church in proper order. And there he's trying to tell them how everything they do ought to be motivated by love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not boast. It is not envious. It is not jealous. It's not self-seeking. Right? And he's been trying to tell them how to be a good Christian person. And here at the very end of the letter, he says, listen, he says, be on the alert. He says, pay attention to what's going on in your life in regard to your spiritual and physical well-being and also that of your family and your friends. Pay attention. Be on the alert spiritually. Where are you at in your life, man? That's what Paul's saying. Be on the alert. He says, don't be oblivious to the reality that you're facing. Open your eyes, he's saying. Be aware. Be wide awake. Be vigilant and be ready. Be on the alert, man. He says, stand firm in the faith. Here he says, don't give up. Stand. Take your stand. Don't be moved, he's saying. Stand firm in the faith. That is, don't give up your position in Christ and give in to temptation. Trust in God and stand in His mighty power. Of course, you know, this is characteristic of Paul in his teaching. And that section on the armor of God, he tells us, be strong in the Lord, he says, and in the power of His might, he says, so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen? He says, be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Take your stand against the devil and his schemes to draw you into sin against God. Be steadfast. Be immovable in your faith and trust in God. Withstand the temptations that come your way. Stand in the faith. That is to say, in the power of God. You don't have to do this on your own. We stand in the mighty power of God against temptation and against sin. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. And he says these words, act like men. Act like men. Think about it. I think there was a great need even in Paul's time for men to act like men. You know, we live in a feminized culture here in modern America. We have a great need for men to be men. Amen? Amen? How much more in the church? How much more in the church? What do you suppose Paul means? I'm going to take a stab at it. This is to say, take courage. Don't act like a coward. Act like a man. Be a man, Paul is saying. He is telling them, have some backbone, as opposed to being a spineless wimp. Don't be a spineless wimp, Paul is saying. Have some backbone. Act like men. Be a man. Take courage. Be the leader that God has called you to be. That's what he's saying. Act like men. Take ownership of your problems and handle them. Don't go stick your head in the sand. You got problems, man? Get up and be a man. Fix them. Amen? God help us. He means to say, be a man and do what needs to be done. Have some grit. Have some valor. Be brave. Be a man. Do what you need to do. Amen? That's what he's saying. Act like men. The reason why I feel like Paul is really emphasizing this, if you will, kind of a military sense of what it means to be a man, is by the words that follow. He says this, be strong. Act like men, be strong. You with me? You get the sense of it? Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men, be strong. He's trying to tell Christian men how to be Christian men. He's saying you got to stand up and be a man. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. You got to take a stand and you got to be firm. You got to act like men. You got to take courage. We're in a war. We're at battle. We got to act like men. Amen? He says here, be strong. That is, don't be weak. Be strong. Don't be weak. Don't be willy-nilly. Be able-bodied. He's calling the men. Be able-bodied. Don't give in. Be resolved in your purposes until you have accomplished them. Be strong. Take up your arms, man. Don't drop tail and run. That's what he's saying. Amen? It's interesting, though. With all these exhortations for these Corinthian men to stand up and be men, this is what Paul says. He says, let all that you do be done in love. Okay? Now, I want you to see an example of a man who acts like a man and does everything in love. His name is Jesus. You with me? You follow me? Everything Jesus did, he did in love. And he is the epitome of manhood. Amen? God help us to see this. And family, God help this to be our pursuit. This is what we're after. This is what we're striving for. This is why we exist. This is why we were created. This is why we've been given the Holy Spirit of God. So that we can be this man that God has called us to be. Well, the godly man is a man who seeks to be like God. And here now is the essence of godly manhood. Let all that you do be done in love. This is the very nature, the very essence of what it means to be a godly man. You know why? Because God is love. Love is what seasons God's character. Love is what motivated everything that Jesus did. And this is what he's calling us to do as men. He says, be strong, act like men, do everything in love. Amen? This love that the godly man possesses is a twofold love. Okay? So I want to talk to you about how this love ought to be lived out in your life. What does it look like and in what does it consist? Okay? Fundamentally, it consists in these two things. It is love toward God and love toward men. Because love is what motivates our heart, we have love toward God first and love toward men second. It's a twofold love. Is this not what the great commandment tells us is our purpose in life? They come to Jesus, right? Hey, teacher, they say, what is the great commandment in the law? Right? Jesus says, Matthew 22:36. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And then he says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Here's what Jesus means to say by that. The meaning of the whole Bible is this. Love God and love your neighbor. You familiar? Two tables of stone? We've been through this before, haven't we? Two tablets of stone. Moses comes down to the mountain, right? Two tablets of stone. On one is written the first four commandments. Man's relationship to God. On the second is written the last six. Man's relationship to man. Right? And so when they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, tell us of all the commandments, what is the greatest one? He says, here, let me sum them up for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the whole law hangs. The whole law depends. The meaning of the whole Bible is this. Love God and love your neighbor. Amen? This is the kind of love that a godly man has. This is what it means to be a Christian, to have the Spirit of love who is God living inside you. If you're a Christian man, it means to act like a man and let everything you do be done in love. First off, love toward God. Let everything you do be an expression of your love toward God. And let everything you do be an expression of your love toward man. Amen? And anybody who loves God, guess what they're going to do? They're going to love their fellow man. Amen? That's why God is first. When we get God first, we get all the rest of our world in its rightful place. Amen? That's why the first commandment is this. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Amen? When we got him in the right place and he's the first priority, guess what? Everything finds its rightful place. Everything has a definition. Everything has an order. We understand what it's all for because we see him, the creator of everything. By him, all things were made, things in heaven and on earth. Right? All things were made by him and for him. Everything exists for his purpose. Amen? Okay. So then, this godly man possesses this twofold love. And this love is then portrayed in all his relations and in every aspect of his life. Listen, a godly man is a man of love. It affects every relationship in his life. So that would be God, it would be his wife if he's married, his family, his extended family. It would mean his relationship to the church and to the saints, and it would mean his relationship with his neighbors and his co-workers and with all mankind, with all men. This love would be expressed and displayed. It doesn't stop. It's the very essence of our faith. And this is what Paul means. He says, act like a man and let everything you do be done in love. Let love be the motivating factor in everything you do. Well, when we consider this, we see that the godly man first and foremost loves God. The godly man first and foremost loves God. So I want to help you put some feet on this. What does it mean for you as a Christian man to love God? What does it look like in your life? When you look at your life, how can you evaluate whether or not you love God? Okay? I want to talk to you about that. The godly man first and foremost loves God, and this with everything that is within him. Just like Jesus. You see, Jesus loved God with everything he had. With his time, he loved God. With his talents, he loved God. With his money, his treasures, he loved God. He gave God everything he had. Jesus wasn't a tither. He didn't withhold 90%. You with me? Jesus gave God everything he had. Everything he had. Time, talent, treasures. All belonged to God. Amen? Even his own very life belonged to God, which he gave. He's our example. But I want to say something to you. If the godly man first and foremost loves God, and he's a man that loves God with everything that is within him, oh, how rare are the godly men. You with me? There are some around. Be sure to pattern your life after them. You want to know who the men who love God are? Just open your eyes. It'll be plain to see. Because their life is a demonstration of their love for God. Amen? And that's what the godly man is. He's a man that loves God. He is a man who loves God and thirsts for God and for his word. As the psalmist wrote, he said in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul, he says, thirst for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, the psalmist, he was hungry for God. He was thirsting for God, like a panting deer. He was longing for God. And this is his question, when shall I come and appear before God? His great hope was that day, fixed upon that day when he would see God. Amen? Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4, he cries out like this. O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Here the psalmist says, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee, God. Like I was in a desert, wandering, yearning for water. My soul, he says, thirsts for God. Psalm 119, he writes, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. He says, oh, how I love your word, God. Your word is everything to me. It is my meditation all the day. My mind is filled with thoughts of God. This is the godly man. He's a man that hungers and thirsts for God. He's a man that hungers and thirsts for God's word. He knows that God's word holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so he eagerly looks into it to mine the treasures from it. The man that loves God has his Bible close by at all times because it is his pursuit to find God there. The scripture is never far from the godly man. In fact, it is written in his heart. And he opens his mouth and it comes out. His interests are God's interests. He makes it his business to do God's business. Amen? Why? Because he's consumed with love for God. You see, the godly man loves God. He hungers for God. He thirsts for God. He's filled up to the brim with God. And so he makes God's interest his interest. He longs for God and his kingdom to come and be established on the earth. God and his kingdom are all his thoughts, and his hope is fixed firmly on that day when he will see God. The godly man is consumed by this thought, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. He says in his heart, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Put my enemies under your feet. Bring your peace to rule on the earth. Let us no more harm one another and kill our brother. But God, let us lie down in peace. The man of God is longing for peace to come to the earth. And he seeks to make peace between God and men. The godly man is a man that strives to obey God because of his love for God. He seeks to please God in all that he does. Because he loves God so much, the last thing he wants to do is offend God. So he seeks to obey him. And this is what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here's what he's saying. If you really love me, you really will keep my commandments. Or he's saying it like this. If you want to know if you love me, look at your life. Do you obey my commandments? You understand? He's trying to tell us what love for him looks like. It looks like obedience to his commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. The man who loves God is quick to do what God commands. God is first in his order of priorities, and he will not compromise his faith in God for anything. The godly man is a man who is guided by his conscience, and he seeks to learn God's word so that his conscience can be fully informed about what God approves and what God disapproves. He's a man of conviction. He's a man of conscience. He will not allow his conscience to be violated. He will die first. The godly man will go to his death before he offends his God. Where do you get that, Pastor? Jesus. That's where I get that. Jesus will go to his death before he offends his God and Father. Are you with me? Family, this is our pursuit. That's the man I want to be. I want to be a man of conviction. I want to be a man of conscience, a man of principle, a man who stands firm in the faith and is not moved. Amen? Amen. That's what Paul's saying. Act like a man. You with me? Oh, how we need to be called to be men in this day and age. God help us. God help us. Men who love God and men who strive to obey God. The godly man, listen, is a blessed man. The godly man is a blessed man. He's blessed. Everything he touches, he's blessed. Let me tell you why. Because he obeys God. That's why. Here's what Jesus said. Luke 11:28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Let me tell you something. You want to know how to be blessed? I'll tell you how to be blessed. Open up the book and do what it says. You do what the book says, you'll be blessed. You don't do what the book says, you're in big trouble. Day of reckoning is coming. Amen? It's that simple. Ain't, you know, it isn't some big, you know, big fancy faith thing, you know. You don't create your own reality by what you speak. Here's the deal. God gives blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. You don't believe me? Go read Deuteronomy 28 and 29. You'll get the whole story right there. Okay? Listen. You want to be blessed? Don't go with sinners. Don't do what sinners do. Don't think like sinners. And don't say what sinners say. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season. And whatsoever he does, he prospers, and his leaf does not wither. Amen? The blessed man is a man that loves God, and he loves the word of God, and he obeys the word of God. You with me? That's a godly man. And that's what godly love looks like. If you love Christ, you're going to obey what he commands. You need to let this love of God permeate your life. This is why you were created. If you ignore this great purpose, you're going to give an account to God for it very, very soon. Are you with me? Not only that, this is the great joy of life. Could anything be more fulfilling than to love and worship God? All those other pursuits, they're just so low. They're just not going to fulfill. The godly man is a man who is devoted to God and worships God. The godly man, listen, the godly man values God above everything else in his life. This is what it means when it says, to love the Lord your God, the first and great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that is within you, love the Lord your God. This is the great and foremost commandment, says Jesus. Okay? Family, the godly man is a man of love. Love toward God. He's devoted to God. He worships God. He's taken away with thoughts of God. He hungers for God. He yearns for God. He strives to obey God. He lives his life in worship unto God because he loves God. God is his passion. God is his hobby. God is the consuming fire that burns in his heart every day. That's what the godly man is. That's what the godly man looks like. That's the man you're striving to become. He is a man where God is foremost in his mind. This is to say that God is what occupies all his thoughts and his thinking. His day is one long prayer, and his thoughts are communion with God all day long. He views his world through the lens of God's word so that he appraises all things according to God's holy truth. The godly man who is devoted to God, listen, God is foremost in his mind. God is foremost in his thinking, in his thoughts. And when his eyes see an evil thing, he thinks, oh my God, that's an offense to God. And he turns his eyes away. And when he hears a wicked thing, he says, oh, my heart is offended. Because all his thoughts are God. God is foremost in his mind. And listen, God is foremost in his heart. God is foremost in his heart. This is to say that his affections are for God. He longs to see God honored. And he longs to see others honor God. This is because he loves God supremely. The godly man loves God more than anything else in the whole world. The godly man loves God more than anything else in the whole world. He loves God more than his work. He loves God more than his recreation. He loves God more than his friends. And he even loves God more than his own wife and family. Listen, the godly man loves God more than his very own life. Augustine said this. He said, I would hate my own soul if I found it not loving God. God was all his thoughts. God was all his love. God was all his passion. And listen to this. God is foremost in his speech. God is foremost in his speech. The godly man honors God with his conversation. He is quick to give God praise and thanksgiving for everything that he has. He is not a man who speaks profanity, for that dishonors God, and he never takes God's name in vain. The godly man honors God with his mouth, with his words. He often speaks about and praises God to others because this is what is in his heart. He says, like the psalmist in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, he says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You see, He's hungry to get other people praising God too. And when he opens up his mouth, listen, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. All his words are praise to God. Brothers, we cannot have cursing and blessing coming from the same well. You follow me? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, this godly man portrays his love in his relations to his wife. He first off loves God. He second off loves his man, his fellow man. And for a married man, this is first and foremost his wife. The married man who loves God knows it is his first and earthly priority to love his wife. And this is because his marriage is a picture of how Christ loves the church. And that's why the scripture says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. The godly man loves his wife with a sincere and a devoted love. He therefore strives to be like Christ in the way that he loves and serves his wife. He leads her with strong but tender leadership, taking the primary responsibility in the home and family for everything. Listen, the godly man leads his home. He's the head of his house. He's the head of his wife. And he does that very firmly, but he does it tenderly. In other words, firmly, he's not going to be moved. He's going to be the head. He's going to exercise the responsibility in the home that God called him to exercise. But he's going to do it with tenderness and motivated by love. He is her protector and her provider, making sure that her and her family have everything that they need. He grants her honor because she is his wife and a fellow heir of the grace of life. This is to say that a godly man is not disrespectful or demeaning to his wife, but he treats her with the utmost respect. She's his wife. She's a gift from God. And he lives his whole life to love her and to serve her and to make her comfortable and to meet all of her needs. That's what a godly married man does. He lives his life for his wife's well-being. Very selflessly. As a matter of fact, he gives his whole life for that purpose here on earth. This is what it means. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. She is a treasure to him. And I ask you this question. Is this not how Jesus loves his church? And so this is how this love of God is reflected in our marriage. The godly man is a man who loves his wife and displays the love of God in this very practical way. But he also is a man that portrays this love for God in relations to his family. The godly man loves God and does all that he can to see that his family loves God as well. And so the godly man also seeks to teach his wife and family to love God as well. This is because it is the highest form of love that he can express to his family. Listen. There is no higher pursuit in all of life than to love God. And the godly man is diligent to teach this to his family. So you want to know what the subject of your Bible study ought to be? Here it is. You don't need to go to the Christian bookstore and get a devotional. You can open up your Bible and teach your family to love the God of this holy word. That's all you got to do. It ain't hard. Act like men. This is what Christian men do. They teach their family to love God. And they model the love for God. When your family looks at your life, they ought to see a man that loves God. He has often the scripture open before his family and finds himself going to great length to explain it to them and give them understanding. He is always teaching his family to love God. This is how Moses put it. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words," he says, "that I am commanding you today shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Listen, the godly man is diligently teaching his family to love God. This is what Moses said. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength. Teach this diligently to your family all the day." Talk about your love for God. Express your love for God. Open up the word and show your family the wonder and the amazement of the God who made everything, who is everything. Amen? The godly man, listen. The godly man hates sin, and he will not tolerate it in his home. He is quick to correct his wife and family when they sin against God, so that they will be blessed and abide in his word and not incur discipline from the Lord. He takes a stand in his home when people in his home are not kind and loving to one another. He will not tolerate sin in his house because he lives in a holy house where God is honored. Act like men. Don't tolerate sin in your house. It is your house. You're the head, right? What's going on in that place? Genesis 18 speaks of Abraham. Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have chosen him, listen to this, in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. You see, Abraham was a man of God. And he commanded his children and his family to do righteousness and to walk in the ways of God. The godly man acts like a man in his home, and he stands firm in the faith. But even though he takes a firm stand in his household, yet he does it with tenderness and with love. The man who loves God is merciful, even as God is merciful, and he seeks to let God's mercy and peace rule in his heart and in his home. You want an example? Look at Jesus. You see a strong man who takes a firm stand in the faith and yet does it with tenderness and with love. Amen? And so this love is also displayed in his relations to his extended family. The man who loves God does what it takes to take care of his own. This would surely include his parents and his siblings. He is to make sure that his extended family is provided for and that their needs do not go unmet. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, here's a basic of Christianity. If you're a man, a Christian man, you do not let your own people go with their needs unmet. You make sure their needs get met. Amen? More than this, the godly man is a witness of God's love to them. He is a preacher of the gospel to his family, seeking earnestly to see them come to faith in Christ. And this is because he loves them. And the highest form of love that he can have expressed to them is to tell them the gospel and see them be saved. The godly man then displays his love in this way when he serves his extended family, both in his speech and in his actions. Listen, act like a man with your extended family. Stand up and tell them they need to be saved. Don't worry about offending them. I promise you, you will offend them. Okay, so we're over that hump. Okay, they're going to get offended. Open up your mouth and tell them what love demands. You really think you love them when you don't open your mouth and tell them the gospel? You really think you're loving them because you don't want to offend them? How offended do you think they're going to be in the fire of hell? You with me? Family, you have the words of life. You have their release from sin is in the words that you speak when you tell them Jesus died for their sins if they will only come to him and trust him to be saved. You with me? Everybody in your life ought to be hearing this. Every single person in your life ought to be hearing this gospel. I know they are if you're a godly man. Because the godly man loves God and he's a preacher of God's gospel. Amen? God help us. This man also displays his love in the way that he loves and serves the church. Since this man loves God, he also loves God's people. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. This man is devoted to the church. He rejoices to see the saints and to be hospitable to them. They are his joy, even as they are the joy of Christ. If anyone despises God's saints, of this you can be sure, they do not belong to God. Let me tell you something. Don't tell me you love God if you despise his people. You ain't no Christian if you despise God's people. Let me tell you, God's people are the joy of all the earth. They are his precious lambs. And they ought to be precious to us. Amen? Amen. Family, if you find yourself despising God's people, you need to go weep and cry and mourn and wail until you get that sin out of your heart. Are you with me? We should have nothing but love and adoration for the saints of God. Even when they're ugly, and even when they're mean, and even when they're unkind. Of course, I would never do a thing like that, would I? You with me? I sense I'm stepping on toes. Listen, we make it our aim to serve the people of God and to use our gifts and talents that God has given us to serve them. This is our joy, and it gives us a great sense of meaning and purpose in life. Indeed, we were called as members of a family, and it should be our joy and privilege to love them. Amen? Lastly, the godly man is a man who loves his neighbor as well. He seeks to honor God wherever he goes and is continually motivated to reach out in love because God's love permeates his heart. The godly man is willing to make sacrifices to love his neighbor and care for him even as he would for himself. This is because Jesus has taught us to pursue this love and display it. When we show love to our fellow man, we adorn the teaching of Christ and we glorify God. Here's what Jesus said, Luke 6:27 and following. I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. Down to verse 35, this is what he says. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Somebody being mean to you? What a glorious opportunity to love them. Amen? You got somebody keeps putting their dukes up every time you see them? Shower them with kindness. Humble yourself. Lay down your pride. Lay down your sword. Why don't you go do something to love them and serve them? That's what a Christian does. Amen? Well, the man who makes a claim to godliness, be sure that he loves his neighbor, even as he loves himself. And I'll tell you this, time is short. People need the Lord. If you don't tell them, family, I don't know who's going to tell them. God called you. He put you there. He put that sinner in your path so you could tell them the truth and they could be saved. Amen? In summary, let us consider this, the call for us men to be godly men. Let us be sure to hear the exhortation from God himself. And I want to tell you this, Christian man, God requires it. God requires it. It doesn't earn you salvation. Only Jesus can do that. But once you've come to Christ, let me tell you, God requires your faithfulness. We'll close with this, Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And there Moses writes, "What does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." That's what the Lord requires, to fear him, to love him, to walk in all his ways, and to serve him and obey his commandments. Amen? That's our pursuit. God help us. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray for each and every one in the hearing of my voice. Oh God, as we have had the standard lifted up before us this morning, oh God, make it our desire. Make it our longing. Make it our earnest striving, God, to be like you. Oh Lord, strengthen us so that we are truly this people of godly love. Lord, that we would be a people that love you, God, that want to see you honored, God. And Lord, that worship you and adore you and praise you. May you be all of our thoughts, I pray. And God also, that we would be a people who love and serve our family, our friends, our neighbors. May our life be marked with this love. Oh, please, God, help us, I pray. Strengthen us in the faith. And help us men, God, to act like men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How great he is. Amen. Sure, I'm thankful that he's patient with us. It's a lot to take in, I realize. But you know, if you make God your devotion, if you make him the object of your worship and your adoration, these are the very things that will begin to permeate your life and your heart. And God and his word will be everything to you. And there's no other place worthy for us to put our value, for us to put our worship. There's no greater pursuit for us to devote ourselves to, but to the glorious Lord God Almighty, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, family. Go your way. Have a good week.